We're in a series on the Ten Commandments. It's God's top ten. How many would like to be honest and admit God's top ten isn't always our top ten? Somehow we get our names in there, and sometimes we get our faction in there and our religion in there and all that stuff, and our top ten seems to deviate a lot. And so the study of the Ten Commandments is always healthy because it tells us what's important to God. You think about this. The God of the world came up with 10 things that he wanted us to understand and be obedient to. 10. Seems pretty simple, right? And these are the things that are really important to God, and they may not be important to you, but they need to be. Because when we do it God's way, it's always better than our way. Can we say amen to that? You know, my biggest problem isn't what some people have done to me. My biggest problem is how I've done in my life, the decisions I've made that did not have the top 10 involved in them. Had a lot of religion involved in them, probably a lot of tradition involved, but not really God's ways. Now, I pray as we preach this series and you learn things, I've learned a lot through this, and I pray that you have, that you'll be obedient to them. Because it's one thing to say, that was interesting. Another thing to make the change. Now, we know this for sure. None of us keep the Ten Commandments. We're sinners. We broke them. But does it mean it's okay to keep breaking them? Say no. Does it mean he excused it? Say no. Because he wrote them so we would understand what's best for him is best for us. So I'd like for you to put your weight in these commandments to think about my children, my grandchildren, my marriage, my country, my church, America and the world. If we could get God's ways back in it, things will work out so much differently. Amen? And so last week we preached about adultery. Now let me share this. All of these tapes are recorded. If you would like to have a copy of these tapes or the series when it's completed, I'd like to make sure you get those. The first three commandments talked about how we relate to Christ. You know, who do we worship? How do we worship him? And make sure we worship him. And then the last six commandments deals with us and God and us and one another, how we deal with one another. Today we're going to talk about stealing. You know, and we're going to talk a lot about that. I hope you learned some things about it, but it's something we shouldn't do. But it's something we can do all so easily if you don't pay attention. I almost stole yesterday, Saturday at Walmart. If I were getting ready for this sermon, I may have stole, never known it. I was having some keys made in the key department at Walmart. And the guy says, he gave me those keys. He says, you want to pay for them now or you can pay for them up front? I said, I'll pay for them up front. I remembered three or four years ago, I had some keys made. Put them in my pocket. I was traveling. Put them in my pocket, checked out, and forgot to pay for them. I was a long ways from there. I still feel bad about stealing those keys. And so I told him, I want to pay right here. I don't want to wait to go up front. I'm not very good sometimes. I forget. So I want you to understand that stealing is wrong, and we all understand that. Killing is wrong. We all understand that. We've killed 50 million babies in America through abortion, and somehow or another we think that's not too wrong. We think maybe that's okay. So see, we need to understand what God has to say in those important issues of our life because we can do it. And now the difference between killing and murder, we explained that. So we just pray the Lord would bless us and help us. And today, in this commandment that you're here today and those who are watching, living with honor, because you're honorable when you can live without stealing, walking with God. Amen. So we're going to talk about that. And matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to do a little history. I talked about 4 years ago when I made a deal at Walmart, how that worked out for me. And I want you to think about this tonight, today, as we look at maybe some things that we have in our possessions that we didn't get them honorably. We're going to look at that today. Maybe it was just a grape at Walmart. Maybe it was a watermelon in a watermelon patch. Honorably. It makes all the difference, right? Makes all the difference in the world. Billy Hybel, former pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, tells a story of him and his son were traveling through the country. He pastored a big church in Chicago, a great church.
And they were traveling there, and they was up in Wisconsin. He was up in Wisconsin, and they're driving through the country, and there was a big farm stand there, and it had fruit and vegetables and stuff, and a big display. They got out of the car, they went to it, and they began to look, and there was nobody there working the stand. Nobody there. They looked all over. Then they seen a sign. Here was a scale that you could weigh it, how much it cost if you weighed it. There was a scale there, where to pay, how to do that. And so Billy said him and his son put together all that they had, and then when they got it there, they weighed it, and they come up how much it was going to cost, and they went to the box, and it says on the box, this is an honor system. Just put the money in the box. And so Billy got out, him and his son, counted out their money, and they put it in the box and drove away. Now his son asked his father on the way, why can't we do that in Chicago? Would that work in Chicago? And his dad explained, no, because it's easy to steal. Because, see, the honor system, wouldn't it be neat to have an honor system that we could just live on? We'd all be honorable. Do you know that when we steal, we become dishonorable? Not only to God, but to people you stole from, and worse than that, to yourself. I've had things stolen from me, and maybe you have too. I've always thought this. I'd rather have somebody steal something from me than me steal. Because when I steal, it doesn't go away. It lasts a long time. So we're going to talk about that today. Because God says he wants us to live by an honor system. That we can trust him totally and completely in all of our days of our lives. Let's take a little straw poll. How many of you have maybe had something stolen from you? Think about this through the journey. Maybe it was money. Maybe it was a bicycle. Maybe it was some things in your house or some things in your front yard. How many of you had something stolen from you? I had a good friend of mine who was a deacon at the church where I was pastoring. Somebody broke in his house and stole all of his guns. He had a big collection of guns. And he told me afterwards, I sit there with him and his wife, and the police just left. They says that the guns were worth this amount of money. But they felt violated. They couldn't even live in the house. They actually moved. Because that house was broken into, it felt violated, and it just never was the same. So see, when stealing happens, it violates. And sometimes when stealing happens, it will be a big deal somewhere down the road. I have something else to confess about stealing. You're going to think I'm a great preacher here today. When I was 5 years old, I went to a little corner store, and I had a nickel. I don't know where I got the nickel. I earned the nickel. I didn't steal the nickel, but I had a nickel, all right? And so there was a pack of gum there, and I wanted a pack of gum, and that gum in that little package cost a dime. Okay, I had a nickel. So I decided I didn't have enough money to pay for it, and I really wanted it real bad. So I took that piece of gum, stick it in my pocket, nobody's looking, and I walked out the store. I walked out the store, and I didn't have the same step on the way out that I had in. I got home, but I was sure enjoying my gum. My dad walked up, and he seen that big pack of gum, and he says, where'd you get that? I said, up at the store. He said, how much that cost? And man, I just sweating all over. I said, it cost a dime. He said, where'd you get the money? I said, I didn't have the money. I stole it. 5 years old. My dad made me walk to that store, walk inside, and tell that man I stole his gum and give him a dime back. That was the hardest walk in my life. I'll never forget it. I walked up there, and I told that man, kind of waited till everybody was out of the store, but nobody was, it was always full. Don't you hate it to confess in front of everybody? I said, I need to pay you for my gum. He says, were you taking it? I said, no, I stole some while ago. And I want you to forgive me or my dad's going to kill me. And he took that dime. He gave me a hug. He said, young man, I hope you never steal again. That's a lasting impression on me. Except for those keys, I've never stole again. But there's a big difference between those keys and that pack of gum. So think about what it means when somebody steals from you. Now, let's be equally honest. How many of you stolen something from a distant past? I was 5. A lot easier to talk about it now than when I was 6, okay? But from a distant past. Maybe it was candy. Maybe it was gum. Maybe it was money. Maybe it was watermelon out of a patch. Maybe it was grapes in a produce store. It's real easy to do that. There's a common thread in all of us. We all want something for nothing. That's the reason we're so easily conned. That's the reason we're all so vulnerable when somebody comes up with this big deal that you can make money and cheap and all this, invest in something. We're conned so easily. You ever watch American Greed on TV? That's amazing how these guys can steal millions and millions of dollars and get away with it for such a long time. Then the day comes to an end because people are always looking for something for nothing. And so there's a common thread. I want to talk today in 3 parts of this message. Today's message, I want to share a biblical truth, how to obtain things without stealing. How to make gain in your life honestly under the honor system. I want to take a good close look how to steal. We're going to look at all the different ways we can steal. They tell me white-collar crime in America is, I had a guy who worked in the FBI who dealt with white-collar crime. Now, they steal a lot at Walmart and probably every store. Our prices are higher because of all that. But he was sharing me about the millions and the millions of dollars that is stolen by white-collar crime in America. It's by the millions. He said, we're not even interested in Walmart. When you know what's being stolen in the big world, it's phenomenal. He shared that with him, how stealing is all around. Now, today's message, how to obtain things that are accountable for God and for the Lord to bless us. I want to read in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, thou shalt not steal. We're going to take a definition of what stealing is. But I think we all can say amen. That's a good commandment, right? Would it be in your top 10? Maybe not. There's a lot of things that happen in life, but it's God's top 10. Remember that, okay? And so, thou shalt not steal. Now, how in the world are we going to make a way in our lives? What is a way that God wants us to live our lives in a healthy way? I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 28, I want us to begin to learn acceptable means how to accomplish things in your life. In verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer. If you've stolen, stop it. End it. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. But rather, don't steal, make a living by your hands. Work, and work hard. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. It's a process we have to. We all want a job in America, but there's not many people who really want to work. So he says, don't steal no more, but do this. But let him labor, working with his hands, that is good, that God will bless you under the honor system. God can take a little that I have and make it much. How many can say amen to that? And God can take much and make it little. And I want you to know that God knows. God knows everything. That's a scary thought, isn't it? He knows. So God says, if you would just work under the honor system and work hard to accomplish your things, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so much that you can have enough money or enough ability to help people who don't have anything. That is the greatest day in your life when you start giving it away. Ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that will ever last in your life is what you give away. There's 2 words about lust and love, and they're the same emotions. Man, they're just driven. But the difference is lust is always taking. Love is always giving. A lot of things about lust, it's a driven, but you take something from somebody. But when you love them, you give them something. And God wants to give us more than we could ever handle. If he could trust us, he wants you to have the ability to help people, to find somebody who's in need or somebody who's hungry or somebody broke down somewhere or somebody just needs a little help somewhere. It's a joy to help them. He says, if you'll learn to work like that, I'll make sure you have enough to help somebody else, maybe your friends or even maybe your enemy. That's who we love, remember? That's how this stuff works. And so he says, when we can do those things, everything becomes easier in our life. Let me talk about being disabled for a moment, and that happens to a lot of people. Disabled is like being robbed from the opportunity to work with your hands or to labor and to make a living. There are some who just can't, and they can't have the benefit of that scripture by going out and working and have that blessing. For those who can't work, self-worth and self-esteem, it makes all the difference in our world, and he wants to be a part of that world. He wants to help us to do the right thing. In Philippians chapter 4, I want to go there just for a moment, and I want you to see a couple things that you would follow with me. For those who have not been able to work, for those who can't make that living, what's next in your life? Where's God at then? God, how come my hands aren't working? How come my legs aren't working? Where are you at? Well, let me tell you something. The greatest resource I have and you have is prayer. Say amen to that. There's nothing like it. No greater privilege for me to talk to God. And when I can go to God in prayer, my God supplies my needs according to his riches. My God can find a way for me. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing, but with thanksgiving. Let me tell you, Thanksgiving's coming. Let me show you how this works. If you're just thankful for what you have, you're not very thankful for all, because it always takes more to make you happy. I'm thankful for what God's going to do in my life. I'm thankful for the next step in my life. I'm thankful for how God will be there for my life. I'm thankful for the end of my life, not just what happened last week, but what God's going to do. Be thankful. When you don't have anything, remember there's a God who can answer your prayer and supply your needs. In Philippians 4, I want to take you to the next verse. I want to take you to verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you have not the ability to work, and we begin to pray and trust God, maybe your neighbor who is living by the honor system can see your needs and God sends them to your house. Let me tell you how this works. When I was a young boy, my father surrendered to ministry with six kids. We moved from northern Indiana down to New Orleans to go to seminary there. And I remember, they went on faith. I mean, they went on faith. God just called them, and they moved down there, and they were working, trying to make a way. I started pastoring a little church there in Abita Springs, Louisiana, outside of New Orleans a little ways. And man, he was working hard at night, at driving a truck, going to school in the daytime, six kids. And one time I remember, you know, my mom and dad was always talking about, how are we doing today, Bill? Are we going to have some money, you know? Is it got enough to pay for these kids? You know, we deal about that. I remember my mother one time, she came to my father and, you know, kids, if you think that your kids don't know everything in your house, you don't know anything, okay? And I remember, we knew it was tight. We knew money was tight. And I remember mom spoke to my father, Bill, and says, Bill, we need $100. We need $102 to pay this bill, and I don't have it. My dad said, let's just pray together. And you know, when they started praying, they didn't know I was listening, but I was praying. God help us. God do something. So that night about 6 o'clock, my father come in, and my mother had the joy of the Lord in her heart. Met my father when he got out of the car, and man, she was happy, and we could tell something was going on because my mom was really happy. And so he's there when he met, and she walked up to my dad and says, Bill, look at this. Here's a check today, $102 from a former member of a church he used to pastor was in the mail. $102. My dad cried. My mom cried. We cried. God answered our prayer. Maybe you don't have the means, but you trust God and you be honorable, and God will supply all that he has just for you. How many believe that? Say amen. Then years later in my life, I was 29 years of age, and God called me to preach. We just had two kids, but they ate more than six normally. And we moved from northern Indiana to Kentucky. Man, we heard about these Kentucky people down here. Started going to school at Southern. Here's what I knew. Now, this is what I knew. I knew this. I quit my job. I put my house up for sale, and my house didn't even sell. I just knew God was going to sell that house. Didn't even sell. Thankful isn't what you have, it's what you're going to have. Amen? And I was there, and Kathy and I, we'd moved into a seminary village there at Southern. And we had our kids, and it was a little bitty village. We moved out of our nice house on the lake, and it's not selling. We didn't have no money. We wonder how we're going to make it. But here's what I knew. I remembered my mom and dad talking about that $102, and I just knew my God was still going to take care of me because I've been praying, and God began to work into our lives when it looked like, how are we going to do this? Why in the world did I quit my job? Why did I move down here? Why didn't my house sell? God, why? I'm going to trust you. I prayed like I never prayed before. My wife got a job at Salvation Army for $3.25 an hour, and we jumped up and down. Hallelujah, we're on Money Street again. And God took care of us. Here's what I learned going to school. I learned a lot about the theology of God, but I learned when you pray and you have a need under the honor system, he is bigger than big, greater than great. You can trust him. He's God. Amen? So see how the honor system works? This, I want you to understand this. A ways to make a living. In Matthew chapter 25, let me go back to that just for a few moments. In Matthew chapter 25, I want to talk about the parable of talents. How about investments? How about making some investments and let God bless it and prosper it? The parable. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And the one he gave five talents, another two, and another one. To each according to their ability, and immediately he went on a journey. So he met three people, five talents, two, and one. And he gave them the blessings of that money according to their ability to deal with it. He says, you take this and you invest it in the kingdom. Whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. The talents went on. And likewise, they received two gain and two more also. Now, in verse 21, the Lord said to him, in verse 20, so he went, received five talents, came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me to five talents. Look, I have made gain for more talents besides this. I made some investments. I took that money and I asked what to do with it. And God, you blessed it. You gave me five and now I got 10. Let me ask you, are you a good steward of God's money? It's all God's money, right? It says right on your dollar. What's it say? In God we trust. Says that on your penny. Doesn't it say that? That's in the top 10. Now, do you really believe that God can help you to invest that? If you're not a good steward of your money and you spend it, let me tell you something. Your tithes and offerings are real important, that 10%. But God's interested in 90%. He wants you to do it well. He wants you to make investments. He wants to bless you and prosper you. And so the man had five, now he's got 10. The next one got 10, had two, and he got done and met the Lord. And the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You made the investments that I gave to you, and I blessed it, and now you have double. You're doing really good. But then there was a Baptist in the crowd. He only got one talent. In verse 24, then when he had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I know you to be a hard man, reaping what you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the ground, and look, you have what is yours. He said, Lord, I just buried it. I didn't trust nothing. I just buried it. And God, I still got it. Just one. Stuck. Just one. Here's what God said. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You know that I reap where I have sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Therefore, you ought to have deposited my money even with the banks. To my coming, I would have seen back my own with interest. If you could have just invested it in a bank and drew a little interest. I gave you this money. I gave it to you, and I asked you to be a good steward of it. Invest it. So, you work with your hands. If you can't work, there's prayer. And what God gives you, be a good steward of it. Invest it in the kingdom of God. It will come back more than you could imagine. The blessing of my life is what God has taken in my life as a preacher and blessed me so much. He's taken so little with my family. My wife can stand here and I can shout how God has helped us when we had nothing but prayer, what he did, and when we had a little, how good we could do with it and what God's done with it. So as a steward, to keep you from stealing, work, pray, and invest. And it'll be a blessing in your life. If you got your money in a jar in the backyard because you're afraid somebody's going to steal it, it's a lazy, slothful servant. God says, make an investment. Let him bless you. It's a lot of ways. You know why we do that? So we'll have money to give away to help people. He didn't ask you to take that money and build it up as an account just for your success. Use it for the kingdom of God. It isn't sin to have money. It isn't sin to be rich. But it's a sin when your money tells you what to do instead of you telling your money what to do. That's a sin. How many of you live out your week and your money tells you what you can do and where you can go and what you can do when God wanted you to be able to tell your money how to spend it, how to use it for the kingdom of God? So that's ways we can make a living. Amen? We got that? That's biblical. That works in our lives. I want to teach you that. Because so many people don't. I mean, you know, when you retire, what are you going to do? How are you going to live? When God gave you so much, pray about it. Call Dave Ramsey. He'll help you. It's a godly man with godly principles. It'll change your life. If you're living a life in debt, if your debt owns you, my question to you is why? It isn't how much you make. It's what you do with what you make. But most people don't know that. They just think, if I could get a better job, if I could just make more money, I'd be better. The guy that made $150,000 last year can't pay the paper boy, just like the guy who made $20,000. Because the guy who made $20,000 spent $22,000. The guy who made $150,000 spent $155,000. They've never learned how to invest for the days ahead. Got it? It's important. It's real important. It's a godly principle. So you don't have to steal. So you don't become vulnerable. Let me talk about some acceptable ways to obtain stuff. Go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan. You know the story. There was this man walking down the street and somebody came and robbed him and stole, took his stuff. And he's laying in the ditch. Let me ask you something. What would you do? I want you to see the story. The Good Samaritan. This is how, when God wants to prosper our lives, this is unacceptable. No reason for this. Verse 30. Then Jesus answered, said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Now the chance of a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. That's another Baptist. I mean, he loves God, but he just got on the wrong side of the road. He just stays on the wrong side of the road all his life. Say amen to that. Haven't you been on the wrong side of the road? Say, yeah, you'll feel better. That's lying. Okay, I'll talk about that next week, all right? So don't get there, okay? So he's seen him, but he had his stuff too. He'd be at church. Church started at 10 o'clock. Man, he's going to be preaching there. Couldn't take care of this guy. I can reason out, you know, I can rationalize everything. Say rationalize real slow. Rational lies. I can say it till I believe it's okay. Can't you? Say yeah. So this guy's busted in. He's down there in the ditch. Priest walks by. Walked to the other side. He robbed him again. He robbed him of help. He robbed him of a blessing. Likewise, a Levi, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by the other side. That was the leader of the church that day, the Levi. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came and saw, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Jesus says, when I was hungry and I needed clothes and food and water, you never helped me. Remember that time when Jesus talked about when you needed all that, you didn't help me? And they said, Jesus, if we would have seen you hungry or thirsty or broken, we'd have gave you everything. And Jesus says, case in point, until you have my eyes, you never see the broken of other people. All you think about is you. Got that? So when this Good Samaritan came, he didn't have a choice. He had compassion. He had love. Not lust. He gave. He fed the guy. He took care of his wounds. He paid for his hotel bill. And the guy says, if there's more than this, call me and I'll pay it for him. So I just want to share with you. It's so easy to rob. The priest and the Levite robbed that day. They robbed that man of not helping him. How could you not go? It's easy. Just rationalize. It's a bad world today. I stop, don't tell him what'll happen. I just let him bleed. I don't think he's going to die. Just go on. When you have compassion like Jesus, it's never acceptable to walk away from a person who needs healing. Remember the reason why Jesus said, I want you to prosper so you can help somebody else? There was the man to help. But let me ask you a real personal question. I asked my same question. When's the last time you were a good Samaritan to anybody you didn't know? When's the last time? At work, at the store, in life. When is the last time? Man, we rob people of the blessings of Christ. When we can step up, that's how we steal. It's just not taking their money. It's taking their hope. So easy to steal. The Good Samaritan teaches us that. It teaches us about how God supplies our needs and grace and all that he wants to do to our lives and the seizures that come into our lives. It's so easy for us to make the wrong decisions in life. Here's some subtle seizures, way of taking supplies. Little things we desire. Take an inventory through your house. Maybe there's a tool. Maybe there's a book. Maybe some stuff that you never paid for, that doesn't really belong to you. Take that inventory. Do that honestly. Take it back. Give them Jesus. Deception. In Proverbs 20:23 says, unequal weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. Back in the old days, the Saturday Evening Post had an edition. Talked to a butcher that was cutting meat, and he had his finger on the scale. It was the front page. I got a copy of that. And he was cutting the meat, and he had his finger on the scale and making it look like there was more meat on there than he would. And then on the other side of the scale, there was a lady buying it, and she had her finger under it, pushing it back up. When your scales aren't balanced, you steal from somebody. Just because they made a mistake. If the scales aren't balanced, God says it's no good. Living with balanced scales. You know, deception. Insurance company will tell you that 75% of their claims is out of deception. They add to it, take away from it, want more than they should get. They lie. Have you ever lied about getting more than you should out of that insurance deal? maybe on a car, maybe on a house, trying to get more out of it. After all, you pay a lot of money insurance. I think I can just fix it up and get a little more money. They got all the money anyway. Deception. It takes away a lot. Balanced scales. False claims. False timesheets. You ever walked away earlier and didn't write it down? You ever sneak out, didn't pay? You rob your employer. Never think anything bad about it. You know why? Everybody does it. My brother worked at a steel mill for 49 years, and he said, man, they had security gates because people were stealing that steel mill blind. He said, man, everybody was stealing. So they would pat you down going through those gates. So this guy in the steel mill, my brother said, this guy was crazy. He said, I'm going to steal something. They won't even know it. So he came out of that mill that day, and he had a wheelbarrow. And he had some stuff laying on top of it, and the guy says, what's in that wheelbarrow? He said, nothing. So the guy took it out, looked, there was nothing in it. He said, okay, go ahead. He stole the wheelbarrow. Deception. A thief has a lot of ways. How many said, there ain't no lock, keep a thief from getting in there? All a lock does is keep an honest man honest. It's probably true to that. Deception. How about taxes? How about this old rich government who just keeps overtaxing and taking taxes? And somehow or another, you can just justify that you don't have to count this. You can take that money under the table and brag about it. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you this, and I believe it. If you cheat on your taxes, you'd cheat on me. A cheater is a cheater. That's stealing. Got it? Now, that's getting pretty close. I mean, it ain't that bad. God knows it. It's in the top 10. And you break it, you pay. I mean, believe that. The little boy said, Dad, why can't we do this in Chicago? He said, the honor system don't work in Chicago. Why not? Because, see, stealing becomes a part of life. How about when you go down there and you got a little 8-year-old son and it's 7 and under is free? How old is he? Oh, is it easy to say 7? Come on, just say seven. My wife has punched me more than once on that deal. Just say 7, okay? Isn't that easy? I mean, they got all the money in the world down there at Disneyland. Isn't it easy to steal? How about don't pay your bills? How about don't pay your rent? You know, you just stole money from the guy or the gal who rented that place to you. And maybe it takes you 90 days. Do you know that 90 days he could use that money to invest and you stole it from him? You know, when you don't pay your bills on time, you're stealing from somebody. But we can file bankruptcy and okay the stealing. I'll tell you what. You'll never have no money in your pocket to help anybody. God will see to it. You can't get ahead of God. You can't cheat on God. Let's just say this. We can't cheat on God. Let's say it. We can't cheat on God. You know how I know? I've tried. Honest? We've all tried. Stealing. Through deception. It's so easy to do. Now, I want to end with this. It's pretty easy to rob God. What's it take to rob God? What kind of gun would it take to rob God? What kind of tactic would it take to rob God? You know, how smart you got to be to rob God? Well, I want to help you to see this, and I want you to help you understand it today in a very special way. But robbing God is something that most of us have done far too long, far too often, and don't even feel bad about it. So as we end up with this, let's talk about the ultimate act of fraud. It's robbing God. Let me help you understand this. As a Christian, I have God's love. I have God's grace. I have eternal life. I have heaven. It was all given to me free. I have all that. All that's mine, and it was free. I got heaven to go to. I got forgiveness with grace, because when I stole, he can wash it as white as snow when I repent. See, I got all that. You know how I got all that? Free. Say amen to that. It's a free gift. Our ladies were baptized today. When they came out of that water, there was a smile on their face. It's worth $1 million. They got it free. God gave it to them. Heaven, hope, forgiveness, free. But God says there's something on our part. And let me just share this with you. You think God needs money? Say no. He has it all. You think God needs money? Nope. You think he needs trust from us to trust him? Say yes. He needs that. You know why? We made in his image. He wants us to look like him into the world, not like us. He wants us to be an image of God, of love and forgiveness and caring and helping, the good Samaritan, investing. He wants us to be that child of God that he's proud of. So he wants to trust us. So you know the hardest thing he can do to trust us with is money. The Bible says you can't serve God and money at the same time. You'll love the one, despise the other. Who's first in your life? You can tell where you are with money when it comes to God and his house. Malachi, let me read it to you. Chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Wouldn't it be stupid? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. How have you robbed me? In tithes in offering. You've learned that a tithe is a 10% of your income in offering. Roxanne asked today for our offerings to go to these shoes boxes. Make that investment. These kids' lives will be changed just for $25. That's an offering. Tithes come to the house of God. Offerings go around the world to a lot of people. You can make offerings to a lot of ways, okay, outside of church. So God says, I want to trust you with your dollar. A little girl and her mom was learning about how to spend money, and she had out 10 pennies, and she counted out 10 pennies. She said, okay, you got 10 pennies. Now we're going to church. God gets one of those pennies. You know what the little girl said? Well, you don't get very much. You don't get very much. Only gets one? That's a tenth. He don't get very much. But when you're robbing God, it doesn't seem like nothing at all. Big. How do you rob God? With tithes and offerings. Listen to this. You are cursed with a curse because you broke the commandment of stealing. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that it may be food in my house that I can feed everybody. When the churches get it right, and we all give our tithes and offering, we wouldn't need Uncle Sam to feed nobody. Our churches and our community could feed them all if we would just do our part. We could be the good Samaritan with hurt and broken people. When you trust the government take care of you more than you take God take care of you, you got a major spiritual problem. Say amen to that. But we've been bred up to that. We've been taught that. We've been taught our security is when our what we can do in our government, how the government is going to take. It's God going to take care of me. The government don't know my name. The government will shelf me in a minute. The government put me on a phone and hold for 4 hours and don't talk to nobody when I'm looking for help. Bring all your tithes and storehouse that you may be buy food in my house and prove me that is this, said the Lord. I will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessings there will not be room enough to receive it. Just trust me with 10% and I'll bless you with more than you could ever have. If you could just trust me, the God who gave me eternal life, takes me to heaven, forgives, heals my daughter of cancer, heals my granddaughter of cancer, the God who does everything, and I can't even be trusted for 10%. That's the biggest deception game in the world for believers. And if you're not a believer today, you don't need to give anything. You don't need to give anything. This is for believers in Jesus Christ. When you start talking about people about Jesus, they all talk about all that church wants is money. Not church doesn't want money. They want you. And they want you to understand how deception works. How do you rob God? We're going to take an offering on the way out. There's envelopes back there. And sir, if you really want God to prosper your house, bless you that you could have enough to help people, trust him. He says, I'll make sure that you'll have more than you could even take care of. I'm God and you're not. Try it my way. My father, I had a paper route at 7 years of age. I was a gangster. I had a paper route at seven. I was stealing at five. I had all kinds of stuff going on in my childhood, okay? And I sold a grit newspaper. And I made $10 that first week. I made ten. Now, a seven-year-old boy made $10. So I'm talking to my dad. And my dad says, Ronald, that $1 is God's. If you will give to God his one, he will bless your paper route. I believed him. I gave God that dollar. In 6 months, I made $100 in a month. And as God is my witness, there's never been a week in my life since 7 years of age I haven't given God 10% of what he owes. You know why? Because he's God. And the food that I eat, he gives it to me. The air that I breathe, he gives it to me. The forgiveness, he gives it to me. And if you would just not defraud him, he'll take care of you like you wouldn't believe. Thou shalt not steal. Now that's heavy stuff. 15 to 20% of the church across America, Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, even think about tithing. Most of them come in and they put $5 in the plate, $10. I don't care how much you put in the plate. God doesn't need your money. He just wants to bless you, but he's got to trust you with just one penny out of 10. That's the way that works. And let me just share this with you. Let me help you. Well, Brother Ron, I'm in a pickle right now. I can't give away 10%. I'm in debt so bad and I'm behind the curve and I got all these problems going on. Gotcha. Start at 2%. Got to work with you. Amen? He'd give you grace. Just start at 2%. You know, it's Christmas time. You know who's defrauded the biggest at Christmas? God. It's his birthday. And everybody's on the list but him. We're asking you to give a $25 box at Christmas time to help a child somewhere in the world. And guess what? This is God's day. This is his birthday. And you will spend $100 for your sons, $100 for your grandchildren, all you can. And you'll sit at that Christmas tree and give God $20. That's defrauding. Let me help you. Let me tell you how my wife and I worked this out. Because I want to be honest with you. I want to be transparent with you. On our birthdays, I will buy anything my wife wants. It's her birthday. And on my birthday, my kids ask, what do you want, Dad? What do you want, Dad? You know, we don't want nothing. You know, we don't need nothing, you know, so I got to come up with something. On my birthday, we get all kinds of stuff. But on Jesus' birthday, we give all of our money to Jesus' birthday, and we give it to missions around the world. On Jesus' birthday, I make sure he gets a great gift from Kathy and I, because you know why? It's his birthday. He becomes before my grandkids. He comes before my husband or wife. He's first. And you know what? This is what I learned. I got more money to spend on Kathy's birthday than I could ever imagine, because I didn't forget his birthday. As we defraud, we steal. Aren't you glad you come today? Felt pretty good for you got here, didn't you? Oh, me, help me. This is in the top 10. This is in the top 10. And just because it's not important to you and you can't do that and you've got by with it for years, let God be God and bless you beyond belief. Amen? He'll save your soul. He'll bless you And you can be the good Samaritan here today and not even do it out of just natural ways.